I will. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. The piece you're listening to right now is called Escape from Gravity by Deuter, D-E-U-T-E-R, on the Koyosan Sound Healing album. Before that, we heard Come to the River by Diane Reeves. And we opened this space with Bridge Over Troubled Water with Simon and Garfunkel. So this time on today's program, we're going to take a little bit of a breath, coming into rebalancing, and to explore some of the ideas of what it means to be a being with many facets within. All humans are. Some people believe in the spirit, others don't. Some people believe in energy, others don't. Some people believe in multi-dimensional realities, others don't. Some believe in the spirit of nature, others don't. But truth be told, reality doesn't necessarily require a belief system. And I think most often we benefit from not holding on so tightly to a particular belief system or a particular philosophy, because they tend to become quite rigid in their structures, and they are in some ways like bars around the human entity, keeping us aligned with whatever that particular thought process may be. So I'm wanting to explore with you what it means to be expressing oneself as life on earth, but with a sense of deep sovereignty. And by that I mean not giving over your will or your power to some kind of ideology, philosophy, religious belief. It's really important for us to explore who we are and who we would be in the full blossoming of our potential as human beings. So that's what I want to contemplate with you today.
Together. came years hand in hand. We stepped through together and still warm in her arms, deep in his eyes. You create the meaning of life.
This is Rita Selby, Meaning of Life. And it's interesting to think about that. What is the meaning of life? At the end of the day, what matters at the end of the last moment of tangible physical life, what matters? Does it really matter how much property we have, or how much money we may have had, or how much influence and power we may have had? Or is it the legacy that's passed from being to being, human to human, and the impact we may have made in our circle, within our grouping, be that a family, friends, a workplace? It's really important, I think, the most important thing about being a human being is that intangible facet that bridges between human being to human being. This is a lovely song about two people who come together and fall in love, and they just live their lives, and they have children, and then they have grandchildren, and it's this exchange between these two people who, through all those years, have managed to be able to stay connected and in a loving relationship with each other. And I think that this is true of the real value of what it is to be a human being. But we don't necessarily limit it to the standard coupling that we see, you know, may have seen with our parents or grandparents. But I'm suggesting that this is a countenance that we can hold towards life itself, that we can move through life with a sense of embracing the opportunity to experience whatever it is that we are experiencing. We can enjoy the sunshine or the rain. We can enjoy our partners and children in our lives, even if they're other people's children, that, you know, nieces and nephews and things like that. We can enjoy our relationships with each other, hanging out someplace, having a beer or something like that. And there's a great deal of value to that interactive connection to the taste of food, the sensuality of fabrics, the reflections of color in changing light. And we can approach our experience as being something very beautiful and very graceful. And despite whatever challenges may befall us, if we can approach it from that perspective of the sensitivity, the sensuality, the joy that can arise from it, the sense of overcoming something or the sense of achieving something, the ability to resolve or solve a riddle, and we can have this dialogue with life as well as with ourselves that can nourish us as we move through this world. And very often, it certainly happened in my life, there were things that I was exposed to growing up, religions, schools, workplaces, different kinds of people and different expectations those people may have had. And we begin to lose touch with the essence of our experience as beings in this plane of the earth. I think the Greeks refer to the earth as Gaia. In South America, it's Pachamama. But we are so interwoven with the abundant life that has come in this plane. All of the many plants and flowers and trees and grasses and all of the species, you know, butterflies and frogs, deer and lions, and human beings who are not so different as we might pretend. We're really quite similar in most ways. So I think it's important to really to make space for that tapping into a full, robust experience of what it's like, what life is, how it feels to the touch, how the moonlight shimmers through leaves, how the cloud cover passes the sun. And you may be able to say or see from my metaphors that I tend to have an artistic flavor. So I see things in their natural beauty as if I were in a museum looking at a painting. And even in a museum gazing at a painting, I can feel it coming to life, the energies of the images, the colors, the potential for what that particular creation is saying and bringing into our world. So we have a really interesting way of experiencing life, experiencing our exchanges with each other, and connecting to the physical world that we're in. Of course, we have a much more expansive self. We have thoughts, we have feelings. We can be triggered into things. There's so many ways that we can express ourselves, and there's so many things that have impact into that expression that it becomes necessary to create boundaries for ourselves and to be vigilant about keeping our essence alive, keeping an environment that allows that deepest inspiration to come through, that sense of loving the experience of being alive. And I think that we have to protect that so that we don't become deadened on the inside and just responsive to all that is going on around us. We lose something when we allow our responses to become reactive to all that's going on around us. Now, of course, nobody decides to do that. It's more something that occurs in the natural course of our life experience. But we can pull it back, set some boundaries, begin to have a self-defined life. And in doing that, sometimes we, you know, all those family members and friends that we care for and love, we have to set boundaries there as well so that we can balance between what we need and our desire to provide for someone else what they need. And also there's a calling, I think, to really understand ourselves and all that goes into making up this individualized expression on Earth. What are the ingredients to that mix? And I believe that that's where that deeper inner questioning comes in terms of spirituality and understanding that we have so many, I won't say structures, but it's like when we're in our mother's womb and we start as a small single cell zygote kind of being. And then there's a multiplication of cellular structures that forms the first organ. And I believe it's the heart that is the first organ to form. And out of the heart, the next organ to form is the tongue, which is kind of interesting. But gradually all the organs begin to manifest and the tissues manifest and it grows through shapes. Might look like a fish, might look like a reptile, might look like a mammal of some kind before it ultimately becomes more humanoid in its beingness. And what I'm looking to consider, for us to consider, is at the same time that we're developing on a physical level, we're also developing on that invisible content that ultimately becomes our thoughts and our personalities and our understanding of the deeper connections that we carry with us, so that as we grow into a full human being, we can really become acquainted with all of these different facets of our being. And it's really interesting the way I do a lot of work with Qigong, which is related to traditional Chinese medicine. And it talks about these correlations energetically, and how we have partnerships with forces of nature that help us to build and sustain our vitality, our internal vitality. And so there's a very real relationship between the elements: fire, water, wood, metal, earth, air, ether, and you'll find it in many other philosophies that there's a real correlation there in terms of these, in many ways, unknown energetic forces and structures that direct our genetic processes that are there to serve our birth into this realm of physicality. And I really think of it as a realm. I don't believe that it's the all and be all of everything. That we have a pre-existence before birth, and we also have a post-existence after transition. And so there's this flow of experience represented by different energies that all come together into being the being that we are. So even as we gaze at the sky and the air, we can know that we are also air. As we gaze at an ocean or a lake, we have those same representations in our being, flowing of the fluids. And as we sit by a fire, maybe in a fireplace or a campfire, and the crackling and the transforming nature of fire is also inside of us as energy, as spirit. And even as we look at the mountains, the beautiful peaks, snow-capped peaks, or even the smaller hills and valleys, we can know that those same minerals of earth and soil and all the minerals within the earth are also the same minerals that create the structure that we are. So there's this deep interconnection that we can recognize on the physical, worldly level. But I'm thinking we can also tap into the deeper resonance of intelligence that comes through all of this interweaving that becomes the structure of who we are, so that we can understand the processes within our body according to what we see in nature. And this is really how philosophies and understandings and wisdom was developed, through observation and internalizing and understanding these interconnections. And I believe that that is part of an understanding that can help us to mature as human beings by just understanding how closely woven we all are into the fiber of the existence that we live within. But we're also equally woven into the intelligence behind this weaving process. Whether you think of it as a god or a universe or whatever you might think of it as, it's easy to recognize, at least for me, that there is a pre-existent intelligence that is woven within us that helps us to have those more intangible interactions in life. And various creatures, structures, have different levels of that interaction, or different languages of interaction and understanding and vantage points. So many of us have pets, live with animals. Some of us have plants, live with plants. And there's a certain interaction that occurs no matter what level of being we're interacting with. So when we express with a plant, when you are tender with your plant and talk with your plant and are loving with your plant, it's going to thrive. When you are caring for your animals and feeding them and petting them and giving attention and seeing to their needs, that animal will thrive. And there's a way that, of course, human beings do this for each other, but so many other issues get in the mix that interrupts that process in terms of how well we can nurture each other. But I would say there's another greater nurturing that we have access to, which is that natural world. In many ways, our planetary existence is almost an externalized womb. We're out of the mother's womb, but there is still a facility to bring to us sunlight and oxygen and water and nourishment in many ways. So there is an intelligence there. And just as our plant or our cats and dogs and birds may not be able to communicate with us at our highest intelligence standards, it's a very clear, very real, and very authentic process. And I believe that we can have this relationship with our entire environment, that we can connect with our earth existence, and we can begin to understand that as human beings, we have a collectiveness about us. We see it in politics and other kinds of control structures, but beyond those structures, there's a essence of sharing. Just like when you sit in the forest, you can feel the energy of that forest. Biochemically, we feel it. If you sit by an ocean, you can feel that energy of the ocean, the energy that comes off of it, the revitalization that comes from that. Human beings also offer this to each other just by the very radiance of all of these elements that come through them. So we have it on the outside through nature, and we have it coming through the nature that is within. And we share this collectively. And we can begin to cultivate that collective understanding and communication, that when people say we're not separate, well, we are individual bodies. Like an apple is an apple on a tree and not the same as the apple on the other branch, but that overriding structure that provides a tree that apples brings that unity to all apples. And I think life itself is a thing that brings unity to all humanity if we can begin to resonate with it and collectivize with it. And we can understand that whatever our radiance may be into that collective energy of the human energy field is going to have an impact within it. And we've all met people who have impacted our lives in very magnificent ways. It may not seem big, but when we look back, we can remember teachers who transformed our life by the gift of their spirit, their giving, their caring, their guidance. We have parents or relatives who've done things like that and have really uplifted us through their grace of the spirit coming through them. And so when we begin to recognize that this is part of the essence of what human existence is, then we can become empowered to nurture that, and also to understand how the lack of that leads to so many of the problems that we have in our worldly existence and the conflicts that we may have. But the general understanding gives us a path towards healing from whatever might have occurred that undermined our developmental process. So that when we can think of our being, we can think of ourselves as so much more than a personality, so much more than an image, so much more than a thought or an idea or an ideology. We each, as human beings, are an entire system, an ecosystem, a biological ecosystem, a genetic ecosystem bringing forth the voices of our ancestors, the lessons that came through our family lines and our civilizations. And we can begin to think of ourselves, perhaps, as being a part of that process of evolution, that we are that life bringing forth life that is going to impact those of us who have brought children into the world, but also in creating an existence that benefits continuing life. So what I'm suggesting is that rather, or perhaps in some cases, in addition to jumping into the politic of life, is to connect with the emanation of life. And for me, this represents in some ways the yin and the yang of existence. So we jump into the politics and the activism and the relationships and the birthing processes and the building of structures and of abundance and all the things we are attending to in our physical life. It's really important that we don't decouple those activities from the expression of that internal flowering and understanding and expression, that there's a way in which we as human beings are the actor or the representative of something much more vast that we don't particularly connect to. It is us, but we don't fully make that connection. So one could think of it like if you were to isolate your hand. You have a hand. Most have at least a hand or something like it. And we have fingers on the hand, be they real flesh and blood, or some might have mechanical hands if they've had injuries. But we have a structure that allows us to manipulate the world we're in. So we can mold things. We can build things, we can climb things, we can dig into things. So our hand is so useful. But the hand is not directing its actions. The direction comes from some, one might say, the mind. But is the mind also not a structure, a physical interactive structure for something bigger than the mind or beyond our mind, our brain? So as I contemplate all of this, it just leads me to realize that we have so much more to work with in the expression of our life that we can divest the energy that we pump into our worldly concerns and allow for a space to maintain the non-worldly facets of our being, however you might imagine that to be or have discerned that to be, that invisible part of ourselves that exists, that we're aware of in some measure, that is a part of us. And I think we need to explore that more, the yin and the yang, the outer expression, what we see in the fraction of sunlight from a beam of light into many colors. But what is sending that beam? It's generally speaking coming out of a reverse light where there isn't the light, where it's more like the black hole, there's an absence of light. It contains everything, but it's unexpressed. And so as we think about that, we can also think that this unexpressed power that is emanating the light or emanating the vibrational structures that make up our existence, that there is an intelligence there, and we can tap into that, not by necessarily trying to dive in, but by opening a space. So we don't have to force the sun to rise, but there are forces that allow the sun to do what it does. We don't have to force the winds or the waves. There's an element within its nature that allows it to do what it does. And I just believe that humanity needs to get in touch with that, because it's a power. And it allows us to execute our life experience more from that powerful emanating force that is whom functions. So from the perspective of the hand, our bodies are the hand of this greater force. And when we get into trouble, sometimes, is when we focus too much attention on the physicality of whom we are and the reactive response to what's going on around us without giving due attention to that which is rising from within. So that might seem a little bit out there, but I find that that's what for me has enabled me to have a pathway to returning to that internal peaceful state. Because we all get distracted. We all have to deal with stuff that messes up our minds, or we consume stuff that messes up our bodies, or we engage with encounters that messes up our emotions and our sense of confidence. So we all have these interference patterns. But the key is to be able to settle back into the internal power structure for the direction of moving forward, so that we're not triggered into whatever that messed upness is and trying to fight through it, but rather we allow our awareness to expand internally into the greater power force that underlies our existence for a more coherent guidance on how to deal with whatever is going on in our local environment. And to me, that is part of what spirituality is. It isn't so much believing that there's some dude in the sky wearing a beard, whether it's a white dude or a black dude or a woman dude, whatever it is, that's not the truth of our power. Our truth of our power is not by submitting to structures and rules and regulations and rigidness and ideologies. Is not, I believe, what will fulfill our greatest potential as experiencers in this environment. And that gives us an interesting shift, which I, you know, see in sort of the digital reality that our world is engaging in, where we have all these games in which we become the avatar in a simulated structure, and we can operate these little characters and fly planes or drive cars and have all of these experiences in a simulated environment, which is interesting. But it's also can be a distraction that we get in there and we play, and, you know, nothing wrong with it. It's fine if people enjoy that. But I'm one who prefers to regard our environment within which we move our bodies and move our thoughts and our feelings as not a simulation. I don't really subscribe to the whole simulation theory. I think we're living in a real, constructed environment of a certain nature based on a specific vibrational scheme of things. But it's not the fullness of our beingness. So we're in here playing around, walking around, doing what we do as human beings. But there's a part of us that is beyond that and is in some ways the avatar to our being. And that avatar to our beingness in this world is also us. So we live in a kind of a graduated structure that maybe you can imagine as the Russian dolls, where you open one, there's another little doll, you open one, there's another one. And if we can begin to think of ourselves as, okay, the human being that's walking around on the planetary plane, you know, the structure of physicality has another wrapping around it that is of a less dense structure. And that part of the being has another wrapping around that is of a more etheric nature. And that part of our being has another wraparound that is a even more refined energetic structure or physical structure. So that as we're moving through the world, even though we operate in these systems of bodies and experience, there's much more to us. And so from my vantage point, the spiritual journey is moving back into that awareness, into that experience, into that peaceful, less troubled, more expansive in capacity and awareness, and more powerful part of our own being. And as we seek to move through the world in our avatar bodies, we can understand that we have all of this flowing through us like electricity flowing through a wire. And when you plug into the socket, it makes the light go on. That we are the same in our own energetic spirit kind of structure, that when we bring the intention and look behind the physical presence, we can tap into this enormous sense of whom we are as being, in terms of its power, in terms of its knowing and understanding. And just like we can learn to communicate with our cats and our dogs and our birds and our plants, that fullness that feeds into our existence is ever trying to find a way to communicate with us, because that level of our intelligence is so much more grander than our physical structure will allow. So there's a way in which we only need to provide the opportunity. And that's really what silence and meditation is about. It's about shutting out some of the noise of the experience and allowing that part of our being that has this vastness of understanding to make a communication with us. So in some ways, we're like the dog and the cat. We can bark, we can meow, or we can talk. But there's a deeper beingness and intelligence that, if we allow to connect through us, allows our experience on the earth plane to be an expression of something so much more expansive. And that expansiveness, if we are careful and understanding of our energies, and as we learn to read these energies, just like you know when somebody's looking you across the room, looking at you from across the room, we can begin to interpret the guidance that is coming through us. And the more we interpret that guidance, the better we can express that in the creative process within our earth plane. And from my vantage point, the first step, or a core step, in reaching that level of self-mastery is to unplug from whatever the dogmatic processes on earth have us enslaved to it. So the way we free ourselves from this entrapment is to make that journey within and follow that path to the expansive, invisible to our eye, facet of our being, and allow that expression to come forward. I'm going to play a little music for you, it seems. We have reached that space where we are needing to move on. So I am going to move into a piece of music. It's called Root Chakra Primal Support. Dean Evanson, Jonathan Kramer, and others. And this is a chakra healing. So as we go out, breathe into your body. Our chakras, by the way, and our acupoints, depending how you think of them, are portals into that deeper realm of self. So breathe within.